There you go.
How are you doing, Jane?
Like I say, this is my fun committee. Work tax.
Good evening, and welcome to the Wednesday, January 24th, 2000. Oops. I thought we were there.
practice. Testing.
So I'm not the only one who's doing that.
Good evening, and welcome to the Wednesday, January 24th, 2018 meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. All members of the board are present. Are there any announcements? Nope. Okay. Stu?
I just got a few questions for Rob. Rob, I'm a frequent visitor to Nomar Park every day, as a matter of fact. And we now have 41 gopher holes out there. No big deal, except that it's difficult to walk out there, and I saw a kid trip out there, and it concerns me that there's going to be some liability out there with what's going on. Are we doing anything to do anything with those critters? And I did talk to Pacific Wildlife Care about them, too, so they had some comments. So,
Mike's going to talk about our pest control program and where we provide rodent control and where we don't.
We have about, 10 to 12 humane kill traps that we will typically, following a mow day, set traps in certain locations at a park, and then the following week come back on that same mowing day, to retrieve those traps. And then they would be available to relocate to another location. I don't have an individual that's tasked with doing this. It's kind of I've got extra time. I'm going to grab the traps today and move them out to an irrigated lawn or turf area, which we have 7 of those in the city. We don't use bait. We have hired several years ago a pest abatement contractor to work at Tidelands Park and, again, at Lila Kaiser Park. We're very meticulous about Lila Kaiser because it's a sports field. There's a lot of running where you're not paying attention to where you're walking or where you're stepping. On the other side, the gophers are a natural part of the habitat. We're not going to eradicate them. There's always going to be some gophers around. But we do our best to try to keep the populations low.
Yeah, I understand about the habitat. Virginia suggested putting a large cage over there with a barn owl in it, over the top of one of the mounds and so on. I can see that we are moving ahead doing something about that. I'm worried about liability out there, and I've seen kids trip out there in the holes, and one of my neighbors did it too, and she's an older lady, and there is some liability.
Okay, thank you, Steve. This is under announcements right now, so thank you. Next, we come to public comment period. If there's any members of the audience wishing to address the board, come forward now. Seeing no one, I'll close public comment period. Move to item A1, the approval of the minutes of November 15th, 2017. Are there any changes or comments that need to be made on the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes as stated.
It's been moved.
I'll second it.
And seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. Thank you. The motion carries. Next item is the business item B1, the director's report. Take it away, Rob.
Sure, and I apologize for the tardiness of the report. We're having a little fits with the formatting, and I can see there's still some glitches in there. There's I just kind of under the top of page 6 of the PDF, there's a lingering fragment of a sentence from a previous report that still is in there. I think what Gina suggested next month is we don't try to keep using this same document and just editing it, but start afresh with a clean slate and add our pictures in there or come up with a different way to present the photos, because that seems to be the bane of our issues with it.
One thing I'd like to say is I do like how it reads, and I do like the pictures along with it, because it does give a more descriptive narrative of each of the items you put in the director's report.
Yeah, we may do something, you know, we're thinking about it, maybe using PowerPoint as a tool, not for a presentation tool, but as a tool to present this item. Just have a sheet per, a slide, basically, per each item, and it's lends itself for inserting pictures, at least for our working knowledge of using Word as kind of a newsletter format. So,
well, like I say, it definitely reads better for me, and I think I've been sitting on this board for 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, I think it's come a long way in the last year since the way it started. I can remember when I started here, it was a bulleted list of 3 or 4 items, and we've kind of upped the game each year with our work on it. Couple of items. Our streets work is complete. We're working on a pay estimate with pavements coatings and finalizing paying them on that. Also, the sidewalk work is complete. We did have a couple of change orders on that for conditions that were a little bit different in the field than were shown on the plan. So we'll be paying the contractor a little bit more for in the pave-out area. So the pave-outs extended to catch the slope on the driveway sides. The pave-outs extended a little further up than when that was originally designed. So we're needing to compensate the contractor for that.
Rob? On pavements coatings, I received an email, and I think all of PWAB did, regarding the finances as far as, the payment and that all. I assume that was merely they sent it to all of PWAB. I assume the city finance director, whoever is taking care of those aspects, is that correct?
I believe so. It came from Jen, and it was the CFAC item.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I did get an email, and it was directed to PWAB, and I wasn't sure on the PWAB distribution list. I assume you're on it, but are you?
I don't recall. It came from the public, or it came
from
the city?
It came from pavement coatings. They actually sent the dollar amount of the contract with, I think there was a change. Did you not receive that in your?
Yeah, I did.
Some didn't.
It came from Stephen Rogers.
Yeah.
Part of the audit team for
Lord's
Pickett and Bessie CPAs.
Yeah.
Because I didn't receive that.
Yeah, oh. That's why I wondered with the. Because the only people they sent it to was PWAB, and I didn't know if you were on that distribution list or not. You might want to let them know.
Obviously not. If one of you could forward that over to me, I'd appreciate that.
Sure. it was on January 22nd at 10:32 a.m. So
interesting.
They were performing an audit for pavement recycling systems.
Yeah, I was going to charge the city if I had to go through this.
You're going to check out the pay estimates?
Yeah, so it looks like it was their CPA firm performing an audit. Yeah.
And I think their amount came up to the same amount that you have on this.
That's a good thing.
I noticed that. I was reading it.
We also have entered in a contract with a small local Atascadero civil firm, Eichhoff Engineering, to give us some support since we're unable to fill the senior position. So we'll be getting some a little bit of help on reviewing pay estimates and a little bit of design work for the where the bluff is sloughed off down at the near the Harbor Walk and the Surrey parking. We have that orange snow fencing up there. That was eligible for some FEMA disaster relief money, but they want to see a design on it before they're going to pay us anything on it. So we're going to have ICOF do that. With that, I'd be happy, or we have our management team here to answer any questions that the board might have.
Okay, anything else, Steve?
Then oh, okay. The I'll only one on the actual is involved in the WRFCAC portion of it. And I did talk to Joe a little bit beforehand, but I want to put it to the public record. I did notice Sutton Parsons is not as kind of backed out of the whole RFP process for the for the new WRFCAC or the new WRF.
They did.
Oh,
they decided to pursue.
And what was their rationale, or did they give one?
They're pursuing another opportunity.
Oh, okay. So we still have three viable groups. Still
three teams, AECOM, Lyles, Phelons, Black & Veatch, and Kiewit, and Tetra Tech are the three teams. And I just got an email. The RFP was released to them about 2 minutes ago. So,
oh, okay. So the RFPs are going out.
Yes, the clock starts now, and they'll have till April 24th to prepare their proposals.
Oh, okay. And I did not get a chance. I got about halfway through the meeting of the City Council regarding the management side of the project management or program management, whichever you wish to label it. Exactly how did that breakout? Is it, as I understood, you are going to look for somebody, is that correct?
That's correct. So we'll look for a new program management entity. We're going to keep the technical team in place.
Okay, so not only staying on for the foreseeable future.
He will be reducing his scope to, we'll be eliminating some of the program management, the meeting attendance, the outreach portion, the oversight of of our direct contractors, and we'll be replacing that with a new program manager.
But he'll still give the technical assistance side.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Good deal.
At least to get us through award of a contract.
No, I feel good about that. Thank you.
All right, Jan.
I had just a couple of little things. Like, I noticed the trees that are being taken down on Main Street up by Trade Shell. Are those on private property or city property?
Those are in the city right-of-way, and those were arborist evaluated, and Damaris can give a little bit more information of why we're taking those down.
Yeah, we had an arborist. We had a few branches fall out of it at different times, and we had an arborist evaluate them, and they were dying, so we had them posted. And
yeah, I assume that was why they're taken down. But what I was leading up to was, do they have to be replaced when you take a tree down?
We do replace them. We don't have to place them there particularly, but we replace trees. We have 10 trees now that we just bought that we're going to be replacing. But
at various places.
At various locations, yeah.
Okay, that was one thing. And then this thing that always bothers me is the Choro stream gauge, and it says that coordination with National Marine Fisheries will resume once the need to maintain the Choro Valley right is confirmed. That's the one that has the gauge on it that you can never read, right? Because it's not, it was on private property or it wasn't at a certain level. I'm wondering what the need is.
So our water rights permit through the state required us to install two gauging stations there near our extraction, our well fields. Basically, we have a well field at about where Choro Creek Road crosses the creek, and then a little bit further to the southeast near Kinney Road. which is called our Romero well field, probably after one of the property owners, I would have to guess, that we have been historically the source of water for Morro Bay. So started this work in the mid-90s to permit those, to get a water extraction permit. They are in one of the few areas where the state regulates groundwater. So these are flowing underground streams. If it was a bowl aquifer, just a bowl of water sitting below the ground, there would be no water rights permit required for that. But since these are regulated, we needed to apply for a permit, and we need to show beneficial use before that basically becomes permanent. Well, nothing is really ever permanent because we're an appropriator, not a riparian user. But anyway, I could get into this long story, but I'll shorten it up a little bit. Part of those permit requirements was to install gauging stations. The county has a gauge station at Kinney Road that we've traditionally used. The problem with that gauge, the county is more concerned about flood flows than they are about low flows. So it doesn't measure down low enough where it's not accurate at the low flows that we're talking about that we need to monitor, because at 1.4 CFS or below, we have to stop extraction from those wells. Also, downstream from there, near the more westerly well field, there is no gauging station, so we need to install one there. The required environmental document and permitting from the county, it's on federal land. NRCS owns the RCD, the Resource Conservation District, owns the property. NRCS has an easement over the entire property, so it has to be approved by the federal government to put this gauging station in there. During the environmental review period, National Marine Fisheries Service did not like the design approach because it wasn't the best for fish passage. Before we spend probably in excess of $250,000 installing these stream gauges, I want to make absolutely sure that these gauges are, you know, this water supply is in Morro Bay's future. So we need to complete the One Water plan One Water. First. I think it's would be a prudent use of the city's money to install those gauges if that is our future, you know, one of our future water supply options. But if that is not, and it's not really viable to continue to use, we don't need to be spending that much money to install stream gauges.
So right now it is being used?
It is not being used.
It is not being used. Because I know this comes up all the time about reading the gauges, and there's always an issue on that. So.
Well, it's not reading the gauges. It's actually getting permanent gauges installed. I guess we could just take that item off of there and put it back on when there's actually activity on it. But I expect that we'll see some activity as we approach the end of the One Water analysis, which is, you know, due to be finalized in August of this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry for the long explanation.
That's okay. No, it helped. Thank you.
Christian, do you have any questions?
Yeah, just a quick question on the operations with that inadvertent valve being closed. So, you know, just a couple questions. So I use SCADA a lot, so my employees, and I write their SOPs for them. So I don't know if there's valves that are sensitive like that, or if they're usually, you know, required to be in an open or a closed position. Are they locked out into that position? Is it kids that can touch? I assume it's not an electric valve, so it's just a manual valve?
Yeah, this was just one of our manual valves out in the system, one of the thousands that we have out in the system to isolate different parts of the town. And this is just one that is a normally closed valve. It actually is in the Caltrans right away. And Caltrans was doing some work out there, and they inadvertently opened it.
So they have access to it? Is that what you were asking?
Yeah.
Anything else, Christian?
No.
Nope. Okay. Well, Stu, I'll let you go next.
Just a comment on the nutmeg tank. I was asked the other day about it, Rob, and we seem to be no further action required, or we're not doing anything on it. Do we intend to replace that tank? And if so, when are we looking at?
So as part of the One Water planning effort, the system model that they're doing is confirming the size of the water tank up there and how much storage is. Again, before we spend millions of dollars on a tank, I'm not going to use a 35-plus-year-old water master plan to size that facility. So we're confirming, the based on our new system model, confirming the size of the facility. Once we can, it, I know it needs to be replaced. Regardless, even if we're replacing it with the same size tank, it's at near the end of its useful life. It's a bolted steel tank that, if it isn't leaking right now, it will be leaking soon. You get seeps out of those. Bolted steel tanks aren't forever facilities. They have a life to them. So the proposal currently is to replace it with a concrete tank because of the size of the tank and its location, that it could be partially buried. Probably makes sense to do concrete versus steel. And we're talking approximately a 10-fold increase in size of water storage that's needed in that pressure zone to provide adequate fire flows up there.
Will that have anything to do with balancing the pressure in our area? I'm on Hemlock, and our pressure typically is sometimes 20 pounds per square inch. And I would assume it's because that tank isn't balanced with the one that's up on the Juniper?
The tank will basically be at the same elevation, so installing the new tank there won't change water pressure. Probably should have our operations crew look at where you're tied in and see why the pressure is only 20 psi, because you're down the hill from there and probably shouldn't be at 20 psi.
Yeah, my neighbors have made a comment on it too, and I've had a gauge on it several times, and that's what it is. When I comment on it, somebody comes out and we check it, and it's 22 or 25, but not a whole lot more than that. So I thought maybe you would share the water between both tanks, and it would improve the system overall and the pressure.
Joe's taking a note. Maybe we can have one of our guys meet you again out there, and we can figure out what's going on there.
Chris?
Yeah, on that inadvertent valve, I know we got an announcement or something saying we might have a drop in flow. And it didn't sound like it actually was lost water. So was there ever actually a drop in flow or in pressure?
Out in the Blanca zone, the far north end of town, residents over there would have experienced potentially a lower pressure. Because that tank was losing level. The pumps that actually pump the water over into that Blanca tank was just running in a circle. Instead of bringing the water from basically the south end of town over and filling that tank up. So essentially we weren't running the risk of running out of water. We were just going to run to that low level to get into our fire storage. So.
Okay, thanks. John?
I was looking at the list, and I had some questions about a few things. Trees. Mike, you do the tree trimming, is that right?
Yeah, I'm typically directly involved with the contractors on the tree trimming.
Do you coordinate with Gamaris on the process there, or what sort of coordination do you do?
We share that for the most part. Gamaris and other staff members typically involve and evaluate the arborist reports and determine whether or not we're going to post that tree. And once the time period has passed, I believe it's 10 days, then they'll notice me, and I'll act on procuring a contractor.
Okay. I was noticing that information seemed to duplicate between the second paragraph of consolidate and the tree section there a little bit. The consolidated maintenance said there were five trees, and I counted four on the urban forest manager. Was there a fifth tree?
There were three on Main Street. I believe it was 1680 Main Street, one at 936 Pacific, and one at 2831 Fir.
Oh, so there were three. I see. I misread it. Okay. And let's see, that was one thing. Next one was street maintenance. Sorry. Fire station, what's a moisture membrane? Was that just a ceiling thing? Or?
There's a planter out front on Harbor Street. That I believe mid-year last year we experienced some minor flooding in the office area. We were able to vacuum it up and put some fans on it and went away. Didn't see it throughout the rest of the year. We saw it again after this brief rain, which I understand it rained throughout the evening, but it was relatively, the totals are relatively low. Not enough to saturate that soil, but we felt that that would be the obvious source is that wall. We excavated the soil out, found the membrane. The membrane was between the block and the membrane was filled with hundreds of small pockets, round pockets of moisture. We invited the general contractor from the construction out, and they dispatched or got a hold of their subcontractor that did that membrane. He's going to return next week and meet with us. We did not, and he did not see any obvious compromises in the membrane other than the holes we put in it to release the water. So we're still not certain of the source of that water.
Okay. I guess I found that on the next page, or awarded a contract amendment. Was that that hanging sentence you were talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So then that kind of points me over the street section there. Has there any been assessment of the trend of pavement condition? Are things getting better, getting worse, or?
They're really staying about the same. We'll need to reassess the PCI this year, and now that we have ICOF engineering, we have a couple more boots on the ground that can help us out doing that pavement assessment. So we'll be redoing our pavement assessment, and we owe the state of California a condition assessment report. So we'll be working on that. That'll be due back to the state by March 31st.
Okay. The other question which popped up was, you know, you said we basically, when we did that pavement replacement on Panorama, it's a test to see if it actually works. Has anyone put some eyes on it to see if it's performing well or if it's some obvious problems yet?
I was out there a few weeks ago, and it seems to be holding up okay, but we haven't had a whole lot of moisture to really test it yet. So we'd like to get some rain on it and traffic and see how it holds up.
Okay. I had some questions about that leak. How important is that valve? Are there lots of valves which do the same thing that valve does, or is it just that one had a special?
Yeah, there's a handful of valves throughout the system. In case that there is a problem, we can actually transfer water from one pressure zone to the other. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those. So one that is open, it actually brings water by gravity from one pressure zone, essentially the Nutmeg tank to the Blanca tanks, but with that open and it not isolating other valves, it just ran the water in a complete circle and just continued that pumping. So,
do we have a process to make sure that doesn't happen again? Or,
well, what we have is we actually have those valves marked in our system. Unfortunately, when Caltrans was out, they disregarded our markings and went and opened that valve.
Did anyone have a conversation with them?
I did have a conversation with them because, for one, I had to follow up to ensure, you know, what actually happened. You know, was it who potentially opened that valve? And it was fully They fully admit it. They were out there opening the valves. They were trying to fix their sprinkler system, which was off, and inadvertently opened that valve. It coincided directly to the time that we saw the tank starting to drop on our SCADA system. So in hindsight, when we put all the pieces together, it definitely fit. But it was one of those situations where, again, we have hundreds of valves throughout town, you know, but you have to have a special key to be able to operate these valves. So it was just one of those situations where, you know, it was inadvertently by a maintenance crew opening the valve.
Is there any way to control that?
Short of locking all the valves in town, no. And like I said, it is marked. We cleared up our markings, and we do have a cap on it that says do not operate. So we made it, we better mark the valve, to say that at least.
Okay.
And these are buried valves, so they're several feet down below grade, and it does take a long wrench, and usually sometimes a couple of guys to actually turn that. They're not, the casual user typically doesn't have the equipment to operate these valves. They're not above grade. They don't have a handle on them that you could easily operate. This is actually the first instance that I've ever heard of this happening. So it's not a usual occurrence.
Did Caltrans tell you, did Caltrans kind of follow up with their people to find out what they thought they were doing?
They did. There was an inexperienced maintenance crew out there, and they fully admitted that they were just opening valves trying to get the water system on. Their maps, in their defense, didn't show any of the city's piping in their right-of-way, so they assumed it was all their system that they were operating.
Has that been fixed?
With Caltrans, they are now definitely aware that that we do have a pipeline in that area.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, just one simple question, one or two. On the new sewer cleaning truck, about how much was that, and what's the lifespan for a vehicle like that?
Yeah, that the new truck was just under $400,000, and the lifespan is about, you know, 20 years on a truck like that. Our old truck was a 2001.
Are we retaining the old one and using both of them, or is it surplus?
No, currently we're in the process of surplusing that out, taking off all the equipment that we need, and then we will surplus that out. We actually have quite a bit of interest from other communities already in the truck, so we feel we'll be able to recoup some money on that.
Good. There's no other questions from staff. We'll move on to the next item, which is potential future agenda items. Any comments, Rob?
Just that in getting ready for the
likes me this week.
I've never seen that before.
There's a strike.
Anyway, in getting ready for the annual assessments for our two assessment districts, we're going to bring a report on the maintenance operations out at Cloisters and North Point, which was one of the council work items that we were going to do this year. So we'll have a report on Cloisters and North Point Assessment District, the maintenance operations that go on out there, and elicit feedback on what's going well, what's not going well, and then move into kind of the preparation of the assessment district reports that will end up going to council.
Okay, thank you. There's no other questions of staff. John has one.
There was a couple things. This assessment district at Cloisters, I had a friend there. He asked me what was going on with there, and I talked to some people. I think I understood. When the fire station property is finally sold and developed, is there going to be any effect on the assessments for the area?
We're working with our legal counsel on how that will affect the it's not going to increase their assessment because that can't happen with a without a Prop 218. But if those properties have to be added to the assessment district, so they'll either have the existing rate or it could possibly reduce the rate for everybody out there. But we're working with our legal counsel to determine how that's going to happen.
Okay. That was one thing. It'd be nice to have, you know, when this pavement condition index study is completed, are you going to report to the board?
Yes, we can bring that. Probably the April meeting, because we'll have it completed in March, and then bring it forward in to the board in April.
Thank you.
Okay, any further questions? Jan?
Those are worked out with the residents in those areas, right? I mean, it's not... In the past, I've seen reports of meetings that you've had with the homeowners in those areas, and they agree on certain things that are... Is that how it's always done, or does the city just go in and decide this is what we're going to do?
It's changed over time. There's no specific requirement that neighborhood meetings are held, but I think it's a good idea to involve the neighborhood in the maintenance of the facilities in their neighborhood. We try to schedule quarterly meetings with the neighborhood groups, and we have had monthly meetings with a couple of representatives from the Cloisters to discuss, with one continuing member, the longer term member that meets with us, and we go over, you know, things that are going good, things that are going bad, but council wanted to involve PWAB this year.
Okay, seeing no further questions, we'll adjourn the meeting to February 21st, 2018. Thank you very much, everyone.